All right. So I'm Will.
I'm Maya.
And we're going to do a podcast right now about the Jordan Peele's new film, Us. Came out in theaters the other day. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Been looking forward to it since it got announced last May. I mean, Get Out was so phenomenal. So before we start our review, we're going to talk a little bit about what the movie is about. If you haven't seen it, hopefully you have, because go see it. We want it to break records.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. So it follows a family of four called the Wilsons, and they're traveling to Santa Cruz for summer break, I believe, in their summer home. And during the night, a family of four who looks exactly like them begins to terrorize them. That's as much as I think we can say.
Yeah.
Until, like, I mean, we're going to say more about it, but that there's a lot more to the film. We don't want to spoil it.
He gets into some crazy details later on.
Yes.
I didn't know if you were lost. Stick with me and I'll keep you safe.
There's a family in our driveway.
It's probably the neighbors. But y'all scared of a family?
Hi, can I help you?
Zora. Put your shoes on.
If you want to get crazy, we can get crazy.
All right. So first we're going to talk about how we felt about the film as a whole. I personally loved it. I would give it like a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. What about you, Maya?
I actually loved it too. I mean, I would maybe give it more of an 8 out of 10. Just because it wasn't really what I was expecting.
Yeah. The trailer made it seem, I feel like, more of a horror movie than it actually was. But I kind of expected that from Jordan Peele, because that was the same thing with Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it looked like it was going to be really scary. But it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And also had that the political undertones that Get Out had. Very similar, but not the same.
Yeah.
Because Get Out was race, and then this one was more like, I don't want to spoil it until we get to that part of the podcast, but it had immigration type undertones, I would say.
Yeah.
Like when they say we're Americans.
Right.
I was like, what?
I think that's what makes Jordan Peele so special.
Yeah.
Like his types of movies, he adds that undertone that makes you think.
Yeah. So we both liked it. What was your favorite part of the film? I mean, what were your favorite parts without spoiling until we get to that section?
I really loved the part where they were actually, like, running for their lives. And they were in a car trying to decide, like, how they were going to get out of there. And it kind of added a comedic value there when they were just talking about, like, their kill count.
Yeah. Yeah. That made me laugh because it was, like, fighting for their lives, having, like, just gone through something terrible. And then they're making jokes with each other about, like, how many people they've killed and who gets to drive a person with the biggest kill count. It just, I think in horror movies especially, it's really hard to juggle comedy. It feels very forced a lot of the time, but I think Jordan Peele especially, I mean, Key and Peele's a fantastic show. I think he does a really good job at having these really serious, scary moments and then reflecting that with a really comedic scene that makes everyone in the theater laugh, which you wouldn't expect from a horror movie, or air quotes, a horror movie, because this was more than that. So let's talk about some of the characters, like the acting, I feel like. So I have a list here. Lupita Nyong'o as Adelaide, or as her tethered version, Red. What did you think of her performance?
I loved it. She did a great job of just embodying that creepy, like, disturbing character. Her facial expressions, I have no idea how she figured that out.
Like, the voice that she does. Like, I can't even, like, her performance as Adelaide was brilliant. And then on top of that, everyone in this movie had a dual role.
Yeah.
Everyone had played two characters. She took this, like, mother who doesn't feel safe where they are and did that character so well. And then she comes in on set the next day and does this, like, crazy. Like, there's one scene where Red is talking to somebody, and the way the camera's positioned, like, in front of her face is the creepiest thing I've seen in a long time. Like, I just couldn't even, like, it made my skin crawl.
Yeah.
And that kind of, before we jump into the other characters, it kind of leads into the cinematography of the film. Like, the way that the movie looks was so beautiful.
Yeah.
I could kind of tell. Also, Get Out was so beautifully shot as well. There's, like, the one scene in the trailer for Us where they're walking on the beach and you see, like, their shadows. Definitely is foreshadowing, like, the tethered feeling like their shadow. We'll get into that later. But
yeah.
This the way the movie was, like, built was very beautiful. The sets, all of that was worth mentioning.
Right.
All right. So Lupita Nyong'o, definitely, I feel like, an Academy Award nomination. I mean, of course. It was crazy.
Like, and she played, like, that nurturing mother
and then this,
so perfectly.
Like, the creepiest thing I've seen in a movie in a long time.
Yeah.
And also Winston Duke as the father. So he was a weaker character, I felt like.
Yeah.
Still a great performance, but we didn't know much about him at all.
Right.
Comedic relief. That's what he was there for, pretty much. I mean, they all had their moments, but that's pretty much what he was. I mean, he was the comedic relief pretty much in Black Panther as well as M'Baku.
Right.
But I was happy they both came, but they were both in it together.
That's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, both of them from Black Panther.
Yeah.
Playing those main roles. But
yeah,
they did
so
great.
He was the father of the family. And so I was familiar with both of them before. Were you familiar? Like,
yes.
Besides Black Panther or with Black Panther?
No, Black Panther was first.
So I remember Lupita won for her first film ever. She won an Oscar, which is unheard of.
Wow.
Winning an Oscar after being in one movie. And then I knew him from Black Panther. But she's in this new Star Wars trilogy. So she's been in a lot of stuff. So I've just been waiting for her to have, like, another huge movie. Hopefully the Academy doesn't ignore her like they do other people in horror movies all the time.
Yeah.
The children in the main family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who either of them are. Zora, the oldest, the daughter, she's played by Shahadi Wright Joseph. I think she did a pretty good job.
I think so too.
I mean, again, the only character in the family that was one of the things I didn't love so much was Addie, the mom, is pretty much the only one with a lot, like a drastic amount of character development.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't know much about
Yeah,
the
film takes place over, like, the course of, like, one night. So you don't have enough time. But with what they were given with no character development, you really care for the characters.
Yeah.
Like, if any of these characters were in danger, you're like, oh no, what's going to happen? She did a good job.
Yeah.
And then also as her double, Umbre,
mm-hmm.
which, and we'll get to, like, the meaning of all the double names. There's an article I found that's really interesting that's,
mm-hmm.
like, describing why they're named what. And then Evan Alex was the youngest, Jason. He did, I mean, he, for, like, 11 or 12, probably, he did a
yeah.
really good job. I actually preferred him as the double, I think,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, that was cool with, like, he had, the tethered do not speak, and so they do a very good job at, excuse me, and the only tethered that speaks is Adelaide.
Right.
So I thought it was very cool to see all these actors perform these scary scenes by just, like, screaming or, like, barking like a dog, because that's how they communicate, I guess.
I also thought the kids really, like, matured throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, they had to step up.
Yeah. Like, they're very strong character. Like, I haven't seen such a strong character in a film with, like, very little character development.
Yeah.
So, like, kudos to Jordan Peele for doing that.
Because
mm-hmm. that's really hard to do. Excuse me. I keep burping. And so, so there was the main family of four, and then there was another family of four, the second leads family, I guess. That was led by Elizabeth Moss, who played Kitty. I mean, for being the third lead, she really wasn't in it a whole lot. But, I mean, the scenes she was in were really fun. She was also comedic relief.
Yeah.
She's kind of the rich mom. One of her lines is literally, I think it's vodka o'clock.
Yes.
And I was like, what? I mean, they're kind of a little bit of the polar opposite, I feel, of the first family, which kind of I thought was a little symbolic of the tethered in a way.
Yeah.
And we can get, I don't want to spoil anything yet, but we can get a little bit more into that on, like, why I think that.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're just such opposites. But they're both families of four. So I thought Elizabeth Moss did a really good job. Yeah, her name was Kitty, and then her double's name was Dahlia, which I thought was an interesting choice. But
yeah.
We will talk about that. Tim Heidecker was Josh Tyler. in it less than Kitty. Didn't really leave an impression. Like, I left the theater knowing every character's name except for his. I just forgot it.
Yeah.
Callie and Noelle Sheldon were the twins. Lindsay and Becca.
They were funny to me.
They weren't in it. They were out of the main cast. They are the end of, like, the main cast.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did a really good job.
Also comedic relief.
Yeah, for being, like, 16 years old. And fun fact about those twins, they played Rachel's daughter in the last season of Friends.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that's interesting. I was like, I recognize them because they look very similar. And I was like, what were they in? And then I Googled it and I was like, oh, okay, now mm-hmm. I get it. They were both in Friends, which I think Jordan Peele had Tim's character, Josh, have a tattoo that represents Friends. Like, he's covered in tattoos. So he paid homage to Friends for after having the twins. Yeah, they were, I thought, great for like the three or four scenes that they are in. I mean, they steal two of those scenes. The one in the Tyler's, oh gosh. We will talk about the like the main aspects of the movie. So that's rounds out about the main cast. And then there's also Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. That's a mouthful. And Anna Diop. They were young Adelaide's parents at the start of the film.
Okay.
And in the film, I think the least amount, but they still, I thought, were really good for being like very big actors now, because Yahya was in Aquaman and Anna was Starfire in Titans. So like they're pretty hot names right now. So I was kind of impressed, I guess, with like the one, two scenes that they were in. Did you think that they were good in that opening scene?
Yeah, I think so for sure. They played those types of parents really well.
Yeah, I thought like for only like a character, like an actor that good can pull off a character that's only in like a couple scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
make an impression.
Yeah, because there's a scene where the two parents in a flashback are talking about how they want their daughter back, and it's really, really impactful, and it's like a 45 minute to 60 second scene.
Yeah,
45 seconds. Did you think it was scary?
I thought it was.
Like,
I don't know if like I would
nowadays
say scary.
I feel like people haven't like struggled to understand the difference between like a horror movie and a thriller.
Yeah, it was definitely more of a
thriller. They're very different. Like a horror movie is gonna scare you. Like the thriller, like I found myself like nervous and like scared at parts, but I didn't think it was scary per se.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely was not like a family drama.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was scared, but it definitely made me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and it made me like disturbed.
Yeah, it's one of those movies like a lot of modern movies, especially for like younger generations, will spell out everything that's happening, like all this exposition. This movie does not do that, so you have to watch it, and then there's like all these other things happening where you, when you leave the theater, like, oh, like last night I had this like realization of something that was going on in the film. I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally missed that.
Yeah,
but then you think about it and you're like, all these details, like, oh my gosh, there's all these like hidden side, like plot twists and storylines that you don't notice at first.
Mm-hmm.
Again, brilliant writing.
Yeah,
I got 5 on it. The inclusion of that song, I mean, that song is like a weed anthem of like the 90s.
I didn't know that song.
You didn't know that song?
Mm-mm.
I knew that song. I watched the trailer. The trailer came out on Christmas Day, and I was like, didn't even know what the movie was about, but Get Out was so great. So I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it. The song is, like, not creepy, but then I don't know how they took, like, this, like, literally a weed song and turned it into the creepiest thing you've ever heard.
I think that's the best thing ever.
I thought it was so cool, because a lot of movies will take popular songs in their trailers and, like, especially Happy Death Day had In the Club in the trailer.
Yeah.
And so you think it's going to be in the movie and it never is in the movie. That I kind of wasn't a fan of that, but that's why I liked Us, is because the song appears in the film like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
It was like heavily marketed as like the song of the movie. I mean, it takes skill to take a really popular non-scary song and turn it so creepy. Like, whenever I hear that song now, I'm like, oh, God, there's people after me.
I also love how at the beginning, like, the opening song was, like, a choral song.
Yeah,
I don't know what
like,
that was.
Oh, like, I thought...
It was creepy, though.
It was... I don't know if I liked it or, like, I don't know. I can't tell.
I liked it.
Like, the way that the music is... Like, it does a lot of different types. Like, some scenes, something scary, it will be more, like, techno music. And then it will be the I've Got 5 on it. Or it will be, like, some weird, like, choral chant.
Mm-hmm. That's what he did at the beginning of Get Out, that weird, like, yeah, chant song.
There was some weird chant. I mean, I guess Jordan Peele really likes chants.
Yeah.
So that kind of wraps up, I guess, the first part of this podcast, because there's a lot more to talk about, but nothing that we can talk about without spoiling some parts of the film.
Right.
We don't want to do that, so if you have not seen the film and you don't want it spoiled, click away now. And we're going to start talking about the other parts of the film.
Let's do it.
Where do you want to start, Maya?
Oh boy. There's so much to get into.
Do you want to talk about, like, the main plot twist at the end of the movie?
Yeah.
So, at the end, so, let me go back over, like, some parts. So, at the beginning of the film, you see young Addie at the fair or carnival on, like, Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes missing for 15 minutes after seeing her double in a hall of mirrors. And then that ends the scene. But you find out at the end of the film that her double changed places with her. So this whole time that we're watching Addie, she's actually the tethered version of herself.
Right.
So we're actually kind of rooting for the villain, but not really.
Unknowingly.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even call her the villain. I was just like, really, a lot of my friends were like, oh, it was so predictable. I'm like, but I didn't really see that coming.
I didn't.
Like, even like if it was like you saw that coming, it still came in as a shock. Because there's like the last fight scene between Addie and Red. Mm-hmm. And when she kills Red with the fire poker, she like starts like barking kind of. And that's when I was like,
you see that, like, crazy come out of her, and you're like, wait a second.
And then you go back, and you think of it, and you're like, it makes so much sense now. Because the way, like, some of her, like, vocal, like, inflections kind of, like, are a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And she...
And the look in her eyes,
and the,
I
like,
think.
The way she, like, looks at people, like, just, like, the little things, like, that Lupita Nyong'o did, like, you watch, like, you think about it. I'm going to definitely see it again, just so I, like, because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And see all the clues. But you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, oh, it totally makes sense now.
Yeah.
So that was, like, the main plot twist of the film. There is, I guess, a secret plot twist of the film. So I've seen a lot of theories. We don't know if this is true, but thinking back, it makes perfect sense. So throughout the film, Jason, the youngest, everyone remarks on how weird he has become since his grandmother died last summer. And so a lot of theories are that he was switched out with his tethered the summer before.
Wow.
So, like, at first you're like, oh, I don't know. But then you, like, think about it and you're like, that makes so much sense.
It does.
Because he has a lot of weird vocabulary along with Addie. He says some words and there's a scene at the beginning of the film where they're like, where did you learn that? And he's like, I don't know. And he finds a magic trick when they get to the house. And he goes, I remember playing with it, but I don't remember what it does. The tethered, like, so when someone in above, like, jumps, the tethered will mimic them. So if he's playing with this toy and the tethered has fire, then he's just going to, that's why the tethered version of him has, like, burns all over his face, I guess.
I have something to kind of go along with that, but I'm not sure. Oh, now I'm thinking about it. But you know that part where they're driving and then they see their car on fire?
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds a way to, like, you know, walk backwards
to
so
mimic
that he mimics
him. Yeah.
And then he walks into the fire.
And then the mom,
and
is,
then the
like
mom
screaming,
is, like, screaming. She's
because
like,
that's
no!
when she realizes that that's her actual son.
Yeah.
And then that's why they have that weird look at the end, is because they, like, know that the other one is, like, a tethered. I don't know. Jordan Peele hasn't said anything, but it's a theory, like this, like the biggest theory right now.
I can't wait to hear his
interview. I think
interview.
It's pretty convincing. I mean, do you think it's convincing? I think it's convincing.
I think it is too. I love that you brought up that point.
Yeah. Well, like, Jordan Peele did a video about, like, the theories of Get Out and, like, denied them, like, but it was like a year after the film came out. So
I think he...
We might have to wait that long again.
He really wants the audience to come up with their own theories.
Yeah.
Like,
which
he
I
really
think
gives them time
so
to do
brilliant.
That.
Yeah. If I ever did that, it would be so hard for me to not be like, oh, that's wrong. Or like, say, oh, you guys missed this. But that I definitely think is true.
Yeah.
That Jason was switched out the summer before with his tethered. And that's why he talks so weird, is because Red, who is a real Addie, taught him how to speak. And so he has those weird ways of speaking. So I found this article from Express, I guess, from the UK. I don't know. Hold on. I'm trying to pull it up. I'm struggling a little bit here. It's called The Secret Meaning of the Family Names Revealed in the Jordan Peele Hit Horror. So it talks about, so it lists all the characters and like the meaning behind like their names compared to their double names, which I thought was very interesting. So the first one on here is Zora. So her name is Zora, and then her double's name is Umbre. They say it's the simplest one. So Zora in this like Slavic means like the goddess of dusk and dawn, so like light. And then Umbre comes from the Latin word of shadow. So that one makes like perfect sense, is because she's literally the shadow of that character. Yeah. So that just like none of these names were just randomly chosen because Jordan Peele like was like, oh, I like that name. I mean, who thinks of Umbre? Like it all came from like a reason. Like his name is Jason, but his tethered name is Pluto. Pluto is in Roman mythology is the king of the underworld, or like Hades. So I guess that was like
God of hell and fire.
Yeah, well, and also Pluto is like also like considered like the furthest away from the sun, so like in the darkness.
Oh.
As he's like not really a planet, so I guess like how the tethered feel that they're like away from, I guess, the rest of civilization.
Yeah, and then also like hell reminds you, there's fire in hell.
Yes, definitely. Fire. Well, and then there's Adelaide and Red. I don't know why it's saying Red Riding Hood. Maybe that one is, I guess, not as like set in stone than the rest of them. It's like the tethered doppelgangers all wear that color. Mm-hmm. So that might be why she took them.
Mm-hmm.
There's more things that are really funny. All their costumes are based off the Thriller shirt that comes up at the beginning. All the tethered are dressed like Michael Jackson. Did you realize that?
I did.
At the end of the film, I was like laughing.
On the shirt she's wearing?
Yeah. So at the beginning of the film, a young version of her gets this shirt, like Michael Jackson from Thriller, because it takes place, the beginning is like 1986, I believe. And so after she gets switched, I guess she like went crazy. And so she has this, all of like when they're planning the revolution, they all have gloves on their hands and they're wearing like red that resembles Michael Jackson in the Thriller. I was like, what the
where do you think the scissors came from?
I don't know.
And they all have the same they all type have of scissors.
I think the scissors are like representing like separating themselves, because in the film they refer to themselves as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these like tethered were created by the government as like an experiment. So the first we're like doing genetic mutation and like copying cloning on rabbits in this like underground bunker, and then we find out that they moved it on to humans, and that's why everyone in America has a double. And and then the government decided it was a bad idea and shut it down and left all these people, they're living humans in the ground. Like they realized they could create two individuals but not two different souls. So these people, like the real version and the tethered version, all share the same soul. So that's, I guess, why they control each other. And so the government decided, like, left them, and so they were all eating rabbit.
Yeah.
Because that's what was down there.
Wow.
I just got on a tangent.
Government experience gone wrong.
Yeah. So these people, so the scissors, I guess, are like them wanting to separate themselves and become their own, I guess, because so Red starts this revolution, so Hands Across America was this thing in the 80s where everyone for like 15 minutes would hold a hand going from like the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, which I don't even know if that ever happened. I think it did, but I mean, I wasn't alive and that seems impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now if we try to do that. So she takes that as inspiration to show them that they mean business. So she has all of the doubles across the country kill, like, everyone. Like, all of their, like, they're the real version of themselves. Because they think like them, they act like them, they know where they are. And then they all hold hands at the end, and then the family gets away.
Across the whole country.
Well, and then I saw on Twitter, everyone's like, oh, we need a sequel. I'm like, it's not one of those movies that's going to have a sequel.
I have no clue.
Like, it's one of those films that you can make, watch like 6 or 7 times and be like, oh my gosh, I missed that. Mm-hmm. Or, oh my gosh, I totally didn't even see that.
That ending scene was pretty chilling. Where everybody, I mean, showed like a...
Yeah, it was like a really happy song. And it was like, mm-hmm. like a...
Everybody like holding hands across the hills.
Yeah, like, I was like, what the heck?
I know, I was like, okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was a really good movie. There's more that we could talk about, but we'd be here for a really long time.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, I would definitely go see it again. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I mean, I'm trying to think.
Oh, we want to talk about our theory on 11/11?
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even mention that. So yeah. Do you have the...
I do.
Okay. So in the film, there's so much to work with. We have notes, but we're jumping around a little bit. I apologize. In the film, there is a man who appears with 11/11, like, on his head, like, carved on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like Jeremiah 11:11, which is a Bible verse. And yep. They don't say the Bible verse in the film, but Maya has it if you'd like to read it for us.
So Jeremiah 11:11 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearten unto them."
What does that even mean? Like I don't get it, but it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean...
It's obviously, like, representing the plot of the film with everyone having. I mean, the tagline of the movie is "Watch yourself,"
right?
Which I think is.
But I don't know if it's. I don't know if the tethered are necessarily evil.
But they're not. It's because when we found out that Addie was actually tethered, I wasn't like angry. Like I still, she was still the main character. I was still rooting for her because she just wanted to get out of there and be a person. I mean, but it makes sense why Red is the only one who can speak.
Yeah. And it says, shall not be able to escape.
Yeah, she just wanted.
And they didn't. They weren't killed by their doubles.
Yeah. Most people were not. I mean, but it makes sense now why the Tylers were killed like that.
Yeah.
And not the Wilsons, because the tethered version of the Wilsons wanted to get revenge on them.
Yeah. And Jordan Peele is so genius with this 11/11 idea. He like brings it up multiple times throughout the night. Yeah,
it becomes 11/11 and she gets all uncomfortable and
yeah, like her son looked at the clock when she was putting him to bed and
because it meant something to her because she saw the tethered version with the 11/11.
And then also Gabe was watching baseball that night and they said we're tied at 11/11.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also on one of the Tyler twins' shirts.
I don't even remember that, really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know why that 11/11 just stuck with me throughout the movie.
Well, I noticed the clock and the score, but I didn't realize it was on one of the twins' shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. See, I mean, I'm learning so much now. Like, I did all this research, and I mean, I saw the film, and I still am like, oh, wow, I mm-hmm. didn't even notice that.
I feel like we'll never stop coming up with different theories.
I know,
theories.
Like, we could be here for, like, theories. An hour, but we don't have enough time, but
yeah,
I think that about wraps it up.
Awesome.
Go see the film. I know we might have rambled a little bit. This will make a lot more sense if you have seen the movie, so go check it out.
Yeah.
It's in theaters right now. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.